And welcome back once again to the Odd Man Rush, our weekly NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com, as we continue our preview podcasts for the 2009-2010 NHL season. Now we'd like to move on to the Central Division, leading off with the Detroit Red Wings, followed by Chicago Blackhawks, Columbus Blue Jackets, St. Louis Blues, Nashville Predators. In no particular order at all am I reading those. So much like we did with the Southeast Division, let's take a look at the division last year versus what we feel is going to happen this year. Aaron Brown and Wes Goldstein, thank you for joining me. Aaron, let's start off with you.
Well, I will go out on a limb and say I think the Central Division is the toughest division in the NHL this coming season.
Back that up for me.
Back that up. Well, you've got obviously Detroit and Chicago, which just had a very good offseason signing some star player. I don't know, Marian Hossa. Although they won't have him right at the start of the season.
Right.
They've got him for the rest of the season.
He had the 12-year contract.
Yep. And you've got also Columbus, which kind of showed its, you know, it can make a playoff. Yes. And
certainly.
And they had, you know, a top rookie in Steve Mason last year. Derek Brassard's going to be back. They got Rick Nash signed for the next several years. St. Louis is going to be pretty strong. They showed with even youngsters they can make the playoffs, not just make it, but get a sixth seed.
Yeah, a well-run team. It seems like they're a team moving in the right direction. Yeah,
some guy from Madison Square Garden came over.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to have some key guys back in Korea and Johnson. And then Nashville is, you know, they didn't have a very active offseason, but somehow you can't ever count them out. They always seem to, you know, scratch and claw, no pun intended, their way towards a playoff spot. Not always getting there, but they're always, you can always kind of count on them to be a little competitive.
So. Yes, we are in mid-season podcast pun form, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, I think that, you know, it's a good division, very competitive. I would argue that the Atlantic division may be a little tougher in terms of top to bottom talent with Pittsburgh, Philly, Rangers, and the Devils.
But you got the Islanders too.
Yeah, right. But I think then you can look at the Predators and kind of look at them, because I think, you know, you're looking at four playoff teams from that from the Atlantic as well, and I think probably a deeper team. But that said, I think the Central team is a very competitive division. And again, in some ways it seems like a two-tier division, kind of like the Southeast where you have Detroit and Chicago on one level. But Columbus and St. Louis, I think the gap between them and the top teams is not as great as it might be in the Southeast division. Yeah. And last year you had four playoff teams from that division battling right to the end, struggling. You know, both the teams got bounced, St. Louis and Columbus got bounced early, but you know, getting a taste of it with those young teams I think was important. And I think, you know, you're going to see a very interesting division race again this year.
How much can you attribute some of that early bounce to the fight towards the end of the season, though, just to make the playoffs? I think, you know, there was a lot of push just to get them into the playoffs, and that was not that seemed like that was enough, but it was like, okay, we've accomplished our objective. We made it to the playoffs when nobody expected we would, and then it was just, you know, a little bit of fatigue and tough to hold up that high level of play.
I think that might have been the case with Columbus, certainly to some extent, because I think Columbus really, this was, you know, wow, we got there.
For the first time.
And, of course, they also played Detroit in the first round. Rich, really, I mean, that's, you know, that's your first time. That's not really the way you want to, you know, you want to be there. But certainly I think that happened to, you know, they really didn't have enough to compete with Detroit in the playoffs. And I think getting there was a big accomplishment for the Blue Jackets last season. The Blues were a little bit of a different story. I think they were actually a more dynamic team in the second half. They looked like a team that could go far. They had really good goaltending from Chris Mason, and they were actually a lot more competitive in their series against Vancouver, despite very similar results.
Yeah, somebody picked them to win that series.
Yeah, really? See, those things come back to haunt you. That's why you don't want to be in on it this year. Smart
just,
man.
Just the early season stuff. I'll be back again for some more punishment come playoff time.
Yes, and that will come back to haunt you indefinitely as well.
Yes. All right, so taking a look at some of the off-season moves, let's take a look at some of the more significant elements that these teams have made and talk about our likes and dislikes with these moves, again, just like we did for the Southeast Division. And since we've already discussed the Marian Hossa move, let's start with that. Okay, now, this is a intra-division move, right? Mm-hmm. So Hossa last year at Detroit Red Wing, this year Chicago Blackhawks. So we have the, I don't want to say a balance of power shift, but we have a move that weakens one team, theoretically, and could strengthen another. So let's talk about that move in general and all elements of from the contract, the injury, how it affects both teams.
Well, I think, first of all, for Detroit, losing Hossa, you look at it on the surface, you say, well, they've lost 40 goals. And that's true. But I think they have players and that can fill in. I think they're going to get 40 goals from Darren Helm, who will be in the lineup more regularly. Justin Abdelkader will be in the lineup more regularly. Lino will get more opportunities. This team fills its holes. They'll get 15 goals from Todd Bertuzzi as well, and some elbows in the corner type of thing. I don't know that they really lost as much as people believe with Hossa and Kopecky going to Chicago, because Hossa really wasn't there in the playoffs. Now, it could have been he was hurt, obviously. He underwent shoulder surgery in the summer. He's not going to be available probably until December.
Right.
So maybe that impacted his play. But the reality is Detroit won a Stanley Cup without him. He was brought there to help him win another one, or he wanted to win another. It didn't work out. I think they have the pieces in place they can withstand. As they showed, they got to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals without him really making a contribution in the postseason.
Right.
I think that says something about organization and its depth. So I think that, in essence, is not going to be a big drawback for them. I think, who knows, maybe he carries some sort of jinx.
That's what I was thinking.
And, Chicago,
I mean, well, if Chicago makes it to the finals and loses, then we'll know that this is the case.
Yeah,
but they'll wish they wouldn't sign him for 12 years.
Chicago's had a weird summer, let's face it. That's been, the oddest situation. I mean, if you want to talk about it, go ahead, because I've written about it a lot this summer. It's just, as great as things were for Chicago, like everything was falling into place.
It was a
magical season. It was like everything, you wrote this out of Hollywood, the script. And since then, it's been like one PR disaster after another, if nothing else. And I think it's going to have an impact on the team this year.
I don't know how much of an impact it'll have. I think when they start out, obviously, Hossa is not going to be there to start out. I think that the guys who are there are going to be able to build on the previous, what they did in the playoffs. Obviously, not having Havlat around to start, that, will probably hurt. But then again, Havlat was hurt quite a bit when he played in Chicago. Not last year, but even before that. So they kind of have been in that situation to know, okay, well, we don't have our stud player. So,
but he was there last year, and that was their best season. So
true. But also, you consider that Taze and Kane are also another year older.
Sure.
The year that he, I believe, was hurt was their rookie season, and they had to carry a lot of weight that year. So. So I think Chicago will be okay. I think that the Hossa move helps Chicago more than it hurts Detroit, if that makes sense.
Sure, absolutely.
So I think the issue I have with Detroit is that they, like, the Carolina Hurricanes, they don't change up very much. And when they do change, they usually have a, we'll just say, rookie who has actually been like around the team quite a bit. And for instance, last year it was pretty much Jonathan Erickson, who had been with the Red Wings the previous year, had practiced with them, was kind of just, around to, get everyone's coffee or whatever, but he was around that situation and he was able to be plugged in pretty, pretty quickly and played very well. Last year you could look at Abdelkader as being that guy. To some degree, maybe Darren Helm. The thing that concerns me with Detroit is that they did lose three guys, Hudler being another one, although I know now his contract is up in the air with Russia. So, but you know what? I'm considering him lost because that whole Russia thing is a fiasco anyway with guys coming and leaving and whatever. But I'm considering him not being there. And I believe he was like there up in the top five scorers on that team. So that is a significant loss. I don't know that some of the guys they will bring in that are going to be young are going to be able to, carry the weight
of it. It's Detroit, Aaron. They get the guy off the street. He comes in and
scores
30.
And that's basically it.
But in the past, it was usually it was one guy at a time.
Not necessarily. I mean,
most part.
They fill holes. I mean, they bring in Lino, and they bring in Hudler when he came up a couple of years ago, and they bring in Abdelkader, they bring in Helm, they bring in
that Franzen guy.
Erickson, too. They find pieces. And again, you look at Detroit, and you say, okay, everything you're saying is valid, but I look at, you still have Zetterberg, and you have Datsyuk,
yes,
and you have Franzen, and you have Nick Lidstrom, and you have Brad Stewart, and you have Eriksson, and you have, you know, Helm, and you have Osgood, and you have Babcock, and you have, you know,
you
Peace.
You have Howard, too.
Right. You have the core. This is, you know, leadership experience. This counts a lot. And I think this is where I have concerns about the Blackhawks this year, because, you know, Hossa, when he comes back, maybe he'll add something. They lost Havlat, who was a part of that core last year. You know, the thing about last year that stood out to me, if there was one incident that kind of says everything about the Blackhawks season, is when they stopped their bus to go to Dale Talon's father's funeral. It said something about the closeness. They stopped in a McDonald's someplace in Northern Ontario for McDonald's, 22 guys getting off a bus. This was a bond thing that they had last year. I think that's going to be affected. I think Talon, they were close to Talon. Losing Havlat's one thing. And I think more important, bring in Hossa, and the mistakes with the contracts are being made. There are going to be issues all season about who is going to be re-signed at what price next year. Because Taze, Kane, Duncan Keith, I think Seabrook as well, there's a lot of guys that have to be re-signed. There's going to be issues. Maybe in middle season you're going to have to start moving people. Maybe you're going to have to break up some chemistry. Maybe there's going to be people talking about this every day to kids who are 20 years old. Are you going to sign? What's the status of your contract? No, you know, they're going to say the politically correct things, but I think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be in the air around Chicago this year, and I think they are in a very vulnerable position, I think, in a lot of ways.
Well, is this signing that, I mean, not in respect to the things you're just talking about, though, but when I look at Chicago and I think of Chicago 2009 season, I think of either a 6-5 win or loss for them. And I look at the signing of John Madden, who, you know, he's not the great shutdown center he was, but he still obviously can play that role very well, and probably a hole that they had last year.
Until Paulson arrived, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So is that move, which is clearly far, far under the radar compared to Hossa and other dealings that they've had, going to be one that could possibly help get them over that hump this year?
Well, that's an important pickup. I think Madden still has some gas in the tank. But you know, the thing is, when we have to look at it too, last year, Happy Bullen was their number one goalie when he was healthy.
Right.
Hugh A lost the job that he was signed to have, to take over.
Right.
And really, that was
a common theme in a lot of teams last year.
And that was, you know, that was a big deal because, you know, he signed for a lot of money, just like Brian Campbell signed for a lot of money and maybe didn't, you know, return on the investment that they had hoped. Hugh A had his chance in the playoffs when Happy Bullen got hurt. He did not.
But at that point, it was a mess. At that
point.
I mean, it was with the Detroit series. It seemed like that was not
maybe
salvageable.
So, but Hugh A did not do the job that he was supposed to during the regular season, and he is the number one guy now. He doesn't have Happy Bullen to push him. Maybe that's better. Maybe that's not better. I don't know. But I think that's something we have to remember at all times with this team, because as much as they have talent up front and on defense, and maybe they'll get all the other issues around them settled, but I think that goaltending is a question for them.
I don't think Hugh A is that bad,
no,
though. I didn't think Hobby Bullen was that outstanding. I mean, there were some games where he was giving up 3 or 4 goals, and that in the playoffs is just not – that's not a, to me, the stud playoff goaltender
who
stands on his
hands. But he was winning the games. He was winning the game.
This is true, but he wasn't the stud playoff goaltender that you would come to expect in some playoff series. I mean, that
again,
I'm not sure that's
a reflection of Hobby Bullen or just the style that Chicago
the games
played.
Play. Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. In my mind, they're 6'5" on either side of the ledger.
But even in that situation, I don't think Hugh A is a step back for them. I really don't.
Maybe. I mean, I think there was, you could see it in the guy's eyes after that game when he came in. He came in, he had a great third period or whatever he plays Happy Bull in the middle of the game, but he just completely tanked the next game, and the confidence is gone. That's a tough thing to come back from. You know, Tommy Salo will tell you that. You know,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, things like that are tough to recover from. So he is not a bad goalie. He's actually supposed to be a number one goalie, but, he is, I think he has some things to overcome, and I think as a result, the Blackhawks, you know, have to be concerned about that.
All right, so now let's move on to taking a look at the recent past with the Central Division, and we always seem to be talking about Detroit and the stranglehold that they've had on this division for a number of years now. But looking at teams like Chicago coming up and even possibly St. Louis and on and outside Columbus becoming better in the division, and they're going to take wins away from Detroit. So the question now becomes, is this the year that Detroit finally loses that grip atop the Central Division?
I say yes, but not in such a dramatic way. I could really see it being like a 1 to 2 point difference between Chicago and Detroit. It may just very well come down to the season series. And like you say, the fact that other Central teams have improved. So, you know, maybe wins that Detroit took for granted against, say, St. Louis or Columbus, maybe they don't get those as easily this year because those teams have improved. So I think that, you know, Detroit, I still think they are definitely a top contender to win the division, but I could see down the stretch, you know, Chicago will have Hossa back, and that is significant. That's almost like making a, you know, a trade that, you didn't have the guy before, and now you have
now
him.
You have.
So I can see that it's going to be very close. I'm picking Chicago. I just think that there's a little too much change over in Detroit that, you know, not that they won't be a 100-point team, but maybe they're not going to be 100-102 and get that division title like they have in the past.
It's interesting because you look at that division last year, and there's kind of this urban legend about the Red Wings that they play in such a weak division that they've been running over and racking up points again.
Right.
And if you look at the record within the division last year, it was very close. They were basically a 500 team or just above it against Central Division teams. It's close. And those teams play Detroit hard, and they play each other hard, and the points are hard to get. I think Detroit probably, to me, they're still the best team in the division. I think if there's one issue to be concerned about with them this year is the fact they are a bit of an older team, and the schedule this year is going to be very difficult, more difficult than it has been the last few years because of the Olympic compression.
And you might have a lot of Olympians.
You'll have a lot of Olympians. Yeah. They're going to be playing a lot of games before. They're not going to have the break during the 2 weeks, and they're going to be playing a lot of games after as you're moving down. There's going to be really crunched moving towards the season. So if the teams stay tight and the division is tight, I mean, yeah, that might be their biggest risk, to another division crown.
Yeah, I've been going down all the Olympic rosters or potential Olympic rosters, and I think Detroit is one of two teams that has 11 players who have the potential. It's either based on like the training camp rosters or the fact that they've played in the World Championships, or in the case of say Sweden, that they would be returning from the 2006 gold medal team. So 11 players. I mean, and that includes your top guys.
And your coach.
Right. Yeah, this is true.
Exactly.
So I think, and again, that's another concern that, not just the schedule, but you've got guys who are going to be playing an added, let's say, seven, eight games perhaps.
Right. Right.
So, and not just exhibitions, they're going to playing the best players in the world.
It's going to be serious.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, that could wear on you too. So.
There's a different level of effort that is put forth by athletes when playing for their country.
Absolutely.
So regardless of the chase that they're in going down the stretch of the regular NHL season, when they leave and go perform in the Olympics, it's going to be a totally different type of wear. And we saw that, 4 years ago. Teams that were performing well going into the Olympic break and came back, that if they had a lot of players playing, that, it definitely wore them down towards the end of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, but let's take a look at some of the other teams. And obviously, we're very heavy Detroit and Chicago in our experts' picks up at the top. But what do these other teams in the division have to do to, if we're going to say that the division is down to those two teams, what do they have to do to ensure a playoff spot this upcoming year? Let's start off with Nashville, whom everyone in the expert picks has a bottom feeder in the Central Division.
Yeah, Nashville had a tough year last year, and they haven't really done much in the offseason. They're one of the small market teams. They don't have a big budget. They're very tight with the cost, and they don't go after high-profile free agents. So they're really a team that tries to develop within. The real core strength of the Predators is on defense. They have a very good young defense.
Yes, they do.
And their goalie, Pekka Rinne, had a very good rookie season last year. I think he was too old to qualify for the Rookie of the Year award, but he was the numbers he had were very similar to Steve Mason, who ended up winning it for Columbus. So I think that's really important for them. Offensively, it's like many teams, they're challenged up front. Arnett, Jason Arnett's a good player. Dumont, I think, you know, they lost Radulov a couple years ago when he went back to Russia, yeah, which
that,
I think hurt them a great
for
deal.
Sure.
Steve Sullivan will be there from day one, which is he's a good offensive player. So they have some elements, but, yeah, I don't really see much advancement for this team.
They're
this
going
year.
For the 2-1 win basically every night.
Yeah, yeah, they work hard. Barry Trotz has been there from day one of that team, and he gets them to work. They're a very hard-working team. They won't quit on games, but they're going to have to really claw and scratch for everything they get this year.
Yeah, and in the years that they have had success, they've had success with that same formula, with very little upfront, you know, star power, but hard work and solid defense and goaltending at the time, you know, certainly has propelled them.
Yeah, I think this year, like, you know, Wes said, they need to just get the kind of hockey they get in Nashville. I mean, it's they've never been a star, you know, star-studded team, so they just work hard and obviously, they just have to stick with that. In addition to the goaltending, I mean, with you, I believe we'll have Rinne starting, but you also have Dan Ellis in the mix there too, and he had a couple of good seasons prior to Rinne coming in. So I think that's, you know, a strong point for them, and I believe they're going to try to get some rookies into the lineup. I think, you know, Colin Wilson's one who stands out, and maybe they'll get a little added offense from him. Again, not to where he's necessarily leading the team, but just, you know, to be another contributor. And there are a couple other players who have been in the minors, you know, that would be coming in as rookie. I believe Hornquist and there's one more that I just can't think of right now. Pilstrom, and those guys haven't necessarily performed well when they have come up. But you know, if they can maybe get used to playing at the NHL level, maybe they'll get some. They just need to work their tails off. We're really big on the puns today.
All right. Well, what about Columbus? Let's just keep moving right along here. What do they have to do to show that last year was not a fluke and that they are a team that's on the rise, that is here to stay, that they're going to be a perennial playoff team in the West?
I don't think last year was a fluke. I think they actually earned their place in the playoffs. They had a good season. Ken Hitchcock's has finally got them figuring out his system, playing since he's been there, what, I guess, two plus years.
Yeah.
And it showed. I mean, the biggest thing they did this summer was getting Rick Nash signed for the long term because he's the foundation they build around. But they have some good young players. Last year, Derek Brassard, who would have been a rookie of the year candidate, if I guess he broke his leg midseason.
I think he tore his ACL.
He was gone.
He screwed up his knee.
Midseason, he was gone. But he was having rookie of the year quality. He's like 21, 22 years old. Him and Nash together could be in a very interesting line with Huselius. Filatov got some experience in the NHL last year as a rookie. Voracek. They have young players. Their defense is better. Steve Mason, you know, he's 20 years old. This guy is going to be there for 10 years, barring unforeseen circumstance. So I think they have a lot of things in place, and I think they're building in the right direction.
I think the key in Columbus is no sophomore slumps, whether it be Mason, Brassard, Voracek.
The entire list of people that you just mentioned.
Some of their star players, yeah, they were rookies. You know, Filatov only, I think, played 8 games last year. I think he will definitely make the team this year, partially because I guess there's word that Russian teams have been trying to convince him to come back. And I imagine if he were playing in the minors, you know, he would give second thought to that. But But I think, you know, he's a guy I probably will pick him as my rookie of the year candidate. I could really see him doing some, you know, outstanding things in Columbus, again, with the supporting cast he has there. But, you know, again, they cannot afford to have any of their sophomores have a down year because, you know, they need those guys to produce to prove it wasn't a fluke. And but I'm pretty confident that they will. That will define this year.
All right, and what about St. Louis moving right up, our last team to cover in the Central Division?
For St. Louis, I think the best thing for them is that they're going to be getting some solid players back in Paul Kariya and Eric Johnson, and probably have Pietrangelo crack the roster. I mean, he was able to make it as an 18-year-old right out of the draft last year.
Right.
They decided not to rush him, sent him back to juniors, and I believe he also had a head injury, so that kind of kept him off the ice. But their defense in that regard will be pretty solid, and you know, to have a veteran presence like Korea back will only help them. And again, they're another team with some really talented rookies, with Patrick Berglund, TJ Oshie. So same thing. They just need to not have sophomore slumps, and they need the veterans to keep producing like they did last year.
And they need that Coach Andy Murray's act not to wear thin, which it tends to do.
Yeah,
for a couple
exactly.
Years, so.
Exactly. It's always it's the nice change of pace, right? When first coming in based on prior coach, but after a while,
right.
You know, as it, like you're saying, you know, his prior experiences, after a while, it does definitely tend to wear thin. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up our Central Division preview podcast. For more preview information, head over to cbssports.com/NHL. We'll have preview content from Aaron Brown, as well as preview videos from Wes Goldstein to supplement all the preview podcasts we'll be doing. We'll be previewing every podcast, every division this year, as we get ready for the 2009-2010 NHL season. Thanks for listening.